You're listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church, a relevant biblical community. For more information, visit houstonsfirst.org.
We want to look at Psalm 18, verse 19 on this Easter Sunday morning. What a great, great celebration to be able to celebrate the resurrected Christ. I don't know if you're like me, but I love going and standing at the edge of the sea. And you could look out and see the ocean. It's just this wonderful vastness. And it just feels great to stand at the edge of the sea. I like going up to the top of a mountain, looking out from the top of a mountain and seeing all that there is in beauty and creation. It's always fun to go to the top of a skyscraper or a high building and look out and see this great creation that's out there. See, there's something about being in a spacious place that just makes our heart jump. It's not being in traffic. It's not being with billboards all around us. It's not coming through the streets of downtown. It's being in a spacious place that we can be in an open, open place where it's spacious before us. It's a mountainside. It's an edge of the sea. It's a spacious, great place. I think that's one of the reasons why I like baseball so much. It's just nine men in a big pasture. Big outfield. There's only three people out there to cover all that land. Football the same way, 22 people and 100 yards out there playing. Basketball I like as well, but it's kind of more constricted. You got 10 guys on this one little court down there, or hockey. But you get into the spacious places, and our hearts go, yeah. We'll say things like this: I just feel closer to God when I'm in the mountains. I feel closer to God when I'm at the edge of the sea. I just really like the beach. Are you a beach person or a mountain person? Nobody asks if you're a billboard person, do they? Nobody asks if you're a traffic person. It's a beach person or a mountain person, because we want to be in a spacious place. That's what we're going to see, is a spacious place in this verse of Scripture. It says this in verse 19 of Psalm 18. It says, He brought me out, that's God, He brought me out to a spacious place. He rescued me because He delighted in me. See, our hearts desire a spacious place. Our hearts desire spacious places. In your weekly guide, when you walked in, you received a big piece of information. In there is a little notes page. If you want to take notes along, you can do that. Our hearts desire a spacious place. Say that phrase with me. You ready? Our hearts desire a spacious place. I'll say it right now this time. You ready? Our hearts desire spacious places. We want that. We need that. And that's what God's will is. That's what this verse is saying. It's saying God can take us there. He can take us there. This spring break, my family and I, as many of you did, we jumped into our car and we headed out of Houston, because it's not always a spacious place in Houston. So we jumped in the car. We headed to where my wife is from in the hill country. And so we had a good time in the hill country. And then one day we decided we would go and hike Enchanted Rock. It's in Fredericksburg. It's a big granite dome, a wonderful place to hike. It's not quite Colorado, because you could go like up and back in an hour, okay? So it's not quite the same thing, but it's great. We don't have many mountains in Texas, so we'll take it. It's as good as we can get. So we got up there and went. It was my wife, my two kids, my sister-in-law, and my brother-in-law, and their two kids, and we headed out, the cousins and the aunts and uncles, and we hiked up Enchanted Rock. It was a great, great time to go. It was a spacious place when we would sit at the top. Our kids were sitting there with backpacks on, looking out as we were sitting behind them. It was a great, spacious place. That's what God's will is to be for our lives, a spacious place. Think of how Christ's life was. Don't you think of Him as a man of spaciousness, a broad smile, an open-armedness, that His table was always ready to be filled, the door was always open, the journey could go to any village or any city or any town? He was spacious in His faith that He would walk in and never worry about where He was going to stay. There wasn't a worry. There wasn't a stress with Him. There was a spaciousness and an openness with Him. God's will desires that. That's what God's will is for our life. God's will is not to constrict you. It's not to get you to do a bunch of things you don't want to do. It's not, I don't want to do this. It's an openness to the greatness of what God has planned. But life doesn't always feel like that, does it? Students have lockers that they stuff all their stuff into. Adults have cubicles. We have files in our email of where we put all of our life to file it away on the computer. We get it down into our little phone and we conform it all down as smaller and smaller as we can. Our finances feel constricting. Our jobs feel confining. Our stress in our relationships feel like everything's coming in. Think about a spacious place. Stress is different, isn't it? What is stress? Stress is too many tasks for too little time. Too many tasks for too little time. So you're trying to take those tasks and put them into a short amount of time, and it's crowding it, and you feel it in your schedule. What is it when we feel constrained in our finances? The bills are higher than the income. The debt is higher than the savings. And we feel constricted. We feel tight. We even say things like this: we're going to have to tighten our belts. We're going to have to get more constricted. There's a spaciousness that God wants to have in our lives. And yet we're living in a constricting. It says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, let us lay aside the sin that so easily entangles or constricts us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and protector of our faith. God desires for us not to live in constriction, but to live in spaciousness. Ladies, you probably felt it sometime already today. Someone called out in your house, we're leaving in 20 minutes. And you went, 20 minutes. And that's why pulling into the church at all campuses, there was women with mirrors open putting mascara on as the husband drove in, or staying in the car a little bit longer because the time got constricted is what happened. God wants a spacious place for us. When we hiked to Chanet Rock and I saw that big spacious place from looking up there, I was just like, yeah, this is it. Then the kids started talking about this cave they wanted to go in. I asked my brother-in-law and my sister-in-law, I said, have you been in the cave before? I said, yeah, we've been in the cave, but we're not going to do it again. We've only done it once, and we're not going to really do it again. So, well, why? It's real constricting. There's some places you got to really slide through. If you're claustrophobic, you're not going to like it at all. And I started thinking, well, I can do this. This is no problem. The kids are going to do it. A 15-year-old, an 11-year-old, a 13-year-old, a 7-year-old, they're going to do it. I can do it. So I said, kids, Uncle Greg's going to do this with you. Dad's going to do this with you. And we head towards the cave. Now, when I'm thinking cave, I'm thinking bat cave. A car can come out of this cave. I'm thinking Natural Bridge Caverns is what I'm thinking. A big cave. Let me show you a picture of the entrance of the cave. That little down below is the entrance of the cave. That's not a cave. That's a nook is what that is. It's a little nook. And so you go into the entrance of the cave, and you're coming through already like this. So the kids are going through fine, but I, you know, I'm a huge man, so I can't get through there easily. So we're coming through the cave, and we're going through all these places, and I'm like, okay, this is good. Are y'all sure about this? My niece is leading us. She's 15, and she's leading, and I'm in the very back, and so we're cruising through. So we just go through this little place. Then we drop down about 4 feet. Then we go through another, it's a hole. It's not a cave, it's a hole. It's like a hole. And you drop down another 4 feet. So now we're 8 feet under the earth. And we get to the third drop into the dark. And my heart is like, bum, 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 bum. And I'm not claustrophobic to my knowledge, but does anybody like being under rocks? I mean, that's weird. If you like that, that's weird, okay? That's all you need to hear from Easter. That's weird, okay? So I don't think I'm majorly claustrophobic, but I'm like, I'm going to have a panic attack. If I go down another hole into the dark, I don't want to do this. So I'm looking around, and I'm like, I got to get out of here. I got to get out of here. And the kids are thinking this is fun. And so I say, hey, guys, I'm gone. I'm out of here. I'll see y'all later. See you at the end. Okay, bye, Uncle Greg, Dad, what? And I'm out. I'm gone. So I go and I find this guy, I'm kind of come out the wrong way, and he says, well, where are you going? I said, I'm trying to get out. And he said, well, just go right over there. It's just a 4 foot little jump. I thought he meant jump down. He meant jump from one boulder to another boulder, like 4 to 6 feet. I said, I've seen Everest, the documentary. That's a crevasse is what that is. I'm not doing that. There's no way I'm jumping across that. So I finally find my wife, and my wife's like, what are you doing here? I said, I got panicky. I was scared to death in that thing. She said, well, where are the kids? It's interesting what self-preservation will do to you, isn't it? Who cares where the kids are? I'm out. They'll be fine. I'm like, oh, they'll be fine. There was this other guy that looked real nice that I sent him into the cave with. So they're heading through the cave, and we're kind of breathing like, and then about 15 minutes later, they come out the other side, because it's not go in and go out, it's go down and through and up and out. And then so we find them, and it's like, it's awesome, it's great. And then the rest of the day, I began to just feel defeated. It's like, man, I turned in my man card. Have I gotten so old that I can't do the things with the kids anymore? Like, I just wait at the end, you know, for them? So I started feeling really defeated. I'd gone into the place a bit, but then I'd come back out. See, there's a great spiritual illustration of this. If we're going to make it through to the light on the other side, we've got to have the courage to go through the dark places. We have to confess our dark places. See, here's how it works on Easter. It works like this. We confess our dark places by this. Jesus Christ died on the cross to pay for our sin. Our sin is our dark places, the places we've gone that we have not trusted God with, the places that God has told us, don't go. But in not going, we went anyway. This whole psalm is about David being chased by Saul and David having the ultimate victory. See, instead of us going into the place of the cross and dealing with our hardest rocks and our darkest places, many of us get close to church, we get close to spiritual things, we get close to God, we get close to the cross of Christ, and we get there, we go, I don't like how this feels. This is awkward for me. I got to get out of here, and we run right back out. And we never come through the cross and the tomb to get to the resurrection. See, to know Christ means to go with him to the cross, that he paid for your sins on the cross. He died on the cross for you. How dark did it get on that day? Well, the sky turned black and the earth shook and quaked. He said, my Father, why have you forsaken me? At that moment, all of the sins of the world, your sin and my sin, were put on the back of Jesus, and God turned his head because he was holy, and Christ took the payment for our sins at that moment. How constricted did the world get for Jesus in those moments? Was it spacious to this wonderful man, this man of God? No, it got greatly constricted. Judas betrayed him. Peter would disown him. He would be arrested and bound. He would pray through the night so constricted that the capillaries in his forehead would break and he would bleed in prayer from his brow. He would be arrested by armed guards, thrown into a dungeon. I've been there in Israel. It's a small little place, thrown into darkness, into constriction of the dungeon. Then lifted out, taken in. They would chant, give us Barabbas instead of Jesus. Then finally he'd be flogged and beaten and he'd carry his own cross, constricted as he goes through the city being spat upon and beaten till finally the constrictions of all constrictions, he is nailed to the cross and the sky goes black. See, that's the payment of sin. And so for us in our lives, we got to come through the dark places and really be able to realize, no, this is really sin. Sin has to be dealt with. And that's what Jesus did on the cross. See, we have to deal with our fears in our dark places. We have to take our anxieties and repent before the Lord. We've got to take our hardest rocks and our darkest caves and take them to the tomb of Jesus and the cross of Jesus and say, these are yours now. You who knew no sin became sin on my behalf so that I could become the righteousness of God. But too oftentimes we do just like I did. We go in, we get in a couple levels hearing about Christ, learning about the Lord. We get in a couple levels about, whoa, this is what holiness means and what sin means. And then we say, I don't want any of that. And we pop back out because it gets too uncomfortable. And what happens? We live then just as I did, defeated. Defeated. Feeling like we didn't fulfill what we were made to do. Defeated. And then you know what I did when I was defeated? I then began to justify. In my heart, I was like, who needs a dumb cave anyway? I mean, that's crazy. I need to do that. I've done stuff like that. It's far harder than that. We begin to justify our sin. I begin to ask my wife, what do you think? Did I look like a wimp? Should I do it again? What do you think? Ask my son, what do you think? You still respect me as a dad? Is that okay? Yeah, we're great. We're all kind of hungry for lunch. Nobody's got any problems with this but you. But in my heart, I felt defeated. In my heart, I began to justify. And that's what we do when we don't come through the cave of our sin with Jesus on the cross. We live our lives defeated and justifying. Look at verses 4 through 6 of Psalm 18. I want to read you this so that you could just get one more notch of this dark place of where David was. 4 through 6. The ropes of death were wrapped around me. The torrents of destruction terrified me. The ropes of Sheol entangled me. The snares of death confronted me. I called on the Lord in my distress, and I cried to my God for help. From his temple, he heard my voice and my cry. To him, it reached his ears. God's the one that brings us from the dark places to the spacious places. So what did I do? I gathered the kids around and I said, okay, kids, Uncle Greg's got to do this thing. We're going back in the cave. Here we go. Okay, you ready? Sure. Told my kids, we're going back in. So it's me. And I said, but hey, I want to be in a safer place. So I don't want to be in the back anymore. I want to be between the 15-year-old girl and the 7-year-old girl. Okay, that's where I want to be. So I feel a little more comfortable about the safety that I'm in right here. So they put me in the middle. They gave me a flashlight, and I start going in. We first started taking a couple steps in. I said, I don't know if I want to do this. And my son said, Dad. He's like, okay, I'm in. So we go off, and we take off, and we get down rabbit hole one, rabbit hole two. Now we're at rabbit hole three, where I'm about to jump in again. This is where I kind of was like, I don't want to do this. Everybody's starting to slip through. And we've got to wait because there's another group going through, and they're going through slow. I'm not, you know, dogging them for being slow, I understand, but I wish they would have been faster so we didn't have to wait on them. So we're waiting on them, and I notice as I'm about to go into this rabbit hole into the dark, right up to my left, there's rocks all around. I'm in, like about like this. There's rocks all around, and right here behind me, I notice one beam of sunlight coming through. So I just backed up, and I just sat there in the light. Just sat there in the light. Christ alone, I place my trust. I started singing. I was quoting scripture all throughout it. I dropped in the next little hole. We started going through places. It started getting tight. I mean tight like where you slide on your belly and it's right there, you know, at your head or on your back, and you're sliding through. Very constricted place coming through. You turn off your flashlight. It's complete darkness. There's no place to turn around and go back because more people are coming in. There's only one way going this way, and I'm in this constricted place, and we'd turn off our lights, and it'd just be dark. We'd wait on the group ahead, and I'd stand up, and it would just, I'm not a very tall guy, but it would stand about this tall on my head, and I'd close my eyes, and I'd just say, I'm in a spacious place. I'd quote this scripture. It's a 20-foot ceiling ahead of me. It's above me. It's huge. It's spacious. I turn on the flashlight for Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. God's word, his Bible, will take you through your dark places and your hardest rocks. And so I began to go and journey through. And as we went through, following, going forward, I was able to make it through. And then finally, after singing Christ alone, quoting scripture, sitting in the light, standing straight up, pretending like it's a 20-foot ceiling, trusting others in the middle of the group, standing there to be able to go through. Then finally, we made it out to the exit. And here's the thing that's so great is the resurrection. That's our exit. That's our rescue. See, I made it out to where the light was, and the resurrection is where the light is. The resurrection is our rescue. And that's what's so great about Easter. If Jesus just dies and he doesn't raise, we've got nothing. But the fact that he dies on the cross, our darkest and deepest sins are paid for. Our hardest rocks are broken. He goes into a tomb. Can you think of anything more constricting? He's nailed. He's taken down. He's placed in a rock tomb, a small tomb. He's wrapped in linen cloth, constricted. And he's laid into a tomb. And then they roll a stone and seal the stone. Constriction, constriction, constriction. But on that Easter, the stone rolls away. The cloth comes off. He folds up his head garment to lay it down, which is symbolic in Jewish history to be, I'm coming back again, as he folds it. And he steps out into the sunlight, into a spacious place. Have you gone to the cross? Do you realize your sin puts you in the tomb? And have you trusted that the resurrection is your only rescue? You can't justify it. You can't come back out of it, out of the tomb and the cross, and act like it doesn't exist and it's not a big deal, and act like you're not defeated. You got to come through it in those dark places of realizing we have fallen short of what God wants, to finally get to the cross for him to pay for your sins, for him to lay in your tomb to then rise again on your behalf. The resurrection is our rescue. Let me show you a picture at the end of the cave coming out. My wife snapped this picture. Coming out of the cave. Now, can you see that's not really a cave? It's just a bunch of rocks together. So I'm coming out of this cave. And I'm telling you, when I saw the light, I was like, there it is. It's coming. It's good. As we were going forward through the cave, there was one, I don't know why somebody did this. It wasn't very encouraging at all. It was very discouraging, actually. They painted on a rock an arrow pointing down. Here's the exit. to the right, to the arrow pointing down to the left. They simply put one word, death. Death. Arrow pointed out, death. I hung to the right, and I hung to the right, and I hung to the right. Kids, stay to the right, stay to the right. Your mama's got me watching you now. Go to the right, go to the right. But isn't that true? So go this way, for the wages of sin leads to death, but the light of the resurrection leads to life. The resurrection rescues us. Now look back at the verse of Scripture in verse 19. Psalm 18, verse 19. He brought me out to a spacious place. He rescued me. Why? Because he delighted in me. Do you know that God delights in you? Why did he rescue you? Why did he die on the cross? Why did he rise again from the grave? He rescued you because he delights in you. He created you. He loves you. He likes you. He delights, which means that he has pleasure about you. He has glee about you. He has joy when he thinks of you. He's not trying to constrict you into things that you don't want or are mean and bad old God in the sky. He wants to release you to a spacious place, freedom of security in Christ, freedom of relationship with God, freedom in your future, so that you don't have to live by your locker or your cubicle or billboards or traffic or confining finances or confining relationships. You can live in the spaciousness of Christ because he delights in you. That's an amazing thought. We were created for spacious places that God in Christ provides. That's what we were created for. That's why you stand at the top of a mountain and you go, I don't know, it just feels like I was made for this. I don't know, it just feels like I'm closer to God at the sea. I don't know, nature seems to recharge me. Nothing wrong with the city. We love the city. But the spacious places are the deep desires of our heart. And he's given you a spiritually spacious place through Christ. When I came out of that cave, we began to walk. I felt so invigorated. I felt so victorious. I walked down the hill holding hands with my kids like, that was awesome. That was great. I was never scared the whole time. Don't worry a bit. Going through, walking down, seeing these spacious places of this view of the hill country from Enchanted Rock. It was great. Let me show you a picture. I didn't take it, but of sunrise at Enchanted Rock. Spacious place, isn't it? It's different than the cave I was in. But in order to get to the resurrection, you come through the cave of the cross and the tomb. And you admit, and we admit, that we have done things wrong. And God, you're right, I'm wrong. And I place my trust in you, and I trust you to bring me to the spacious place of your resurrection. I hope that you'll go with God there. Things can constrict us in our lives. Next week, I'm going to start a parenting series. Sometimes parenting can feel constricting. Am I doing it right? Am I doing it wrong? What's going to happen? How's this going to go? Come and be a part of that. As we teach the Bible, we're showing that the constricting places can be broken in Christ. And we want you to come and to trust Jesus if you don't trust him already. To move from the cross to the resurrection. How do you do that? You say, Lord, I got some dark places and some hard rocks, and I want to confess those to you and ask you to forgive me and to wash me clean. We're going to pray in just a moment and give you an opportunity to do that. Right where you're sitting, in Siena campus, Cypress campus, downtown, the Loop, to pray and receive Jesus Christ. If you're a believer in Christ and you've been walking in constricted places, come to the freedom of God's will. Maybe you just need to say, I'm sorry, Lord. You don't have a church. Man, we'd love to help you and to serve you in any way. Don't let it be just Easter when you show up. It's not enough. You need to be with the people of God more to grow in your relationship with Christ. Let's pray together from constricted caves to spacious places.
Thank you for listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church. We invite you to worship with us anytime you're near. We're located at the corner of I-10 West and the 610 Loop. Visit us online at houstonsfirst.org.